Well, it's not so rosy on global markets, and it's that US-China trade war doing its thing. One particular company has been targeted, Huawei. We don't know how to pronounce it, but it's that particular company. And now Google has basically withdrawn its Android services to Huawei, and it looks as though it's going to really cripple that company. So very negative indeed. We're seeing that the All Share Index has closed in negative territory. But of course, to tell us more, I have in studio Gary Boyson. He's from Rand Swiss. Thanks very much, Gary, for joining us. Just before we get into the nitty-gritties, how did the All Share Index close today?
So we closed down today just over 1%, so 1.01%, and that was mainly led lower by the industrial index. So a lot of that pressure coming from Naspers, obviously with the flare-up of China-US trade tensions, the likes of a internet giant in China is likely to come under pressure, and we saw that in Tencent's performance in Hong Kong this morning. That fed into our market, and that helped to drag down the industrials. The financials actually did okay. So if you look at the financial index, that was actually marginally up for the day, and that's perhaps a little bit of optimism creeping into the local currency and SA Inc. But the big winner on the day is certainly the gold mining index. So we had the likes of Anglo Gold and Goldfields up nicely.
So in basic terms, just explain the punishment that's been unleashed on this very important technology company, Huawei. Many South Africans have their phones. Just tell us what it means for them, this whole move on them and Google now withdrawing its services from them.
So if you look at what's happened, essentially, the U.S. is very concerned and has been very concerned about Huawei's role in, the theft of intellectual property, but the second thing is also the national security, like the act of spying, selling Chinese hardware into the U.S. and the ability to put in devices that could potentially be used for espionage, etc. So it has been a concern of the U.S. administration for a long time, but it's become a focal point for the negotiations around the trade war, and it seems like Trump is using it to really apply pressure to the Chinese company, the Chinese state.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a look at Huawei, they supply around 19% of global smartphones. So it's absolutely enormous. And what's happened with the escalating trade tensions is that you've now had a crackdown, obviously, on the ability to supply Huawei anything that has to do with the manufacturing of their devices. If you look at it, this means, and the big announcement today was really that Google's operating system would no longer, the preferential operating system that ships with the phone, will no longer be available to Huawei to use, and they will have to use the free open source version of Android. Now, that in itself leads to huge kind of speculation on what happens if you have a Huawei phone.
Exactly.
But Huawei has said that, and Google has also said that current existing phones will still get their software upgrades, etc. They might be more delayed than people that are not on the Chinese device, but it's absolutely enormous, and no one really knows what the ultimate impact is, because at this stage, people are still thinking that it could be posturing by the Trump administration with regard to the trade war, and there could be some sort of relaxation around the ban, as we've seen him do so many times in other situations when it comes to international agreements. Now,
there's posture and there's stabbing someone right in the back. I mean, this is it, isn't it? I mean, this is a practical example of really preventing people from doing their work, trading, operating, and making money.
Yeah, so far, I mean, he has targeted Huawei executives in the past. If you remember a little while ago, they arrested, I think it was the CFO of the company.
Yeah.
But if you have a look at it, this is the first real shot that's just, I think, going to highlight how dramatically international trade can be affected by things like tariffs. So there's an economist that I follow very closely, and he was saying that from UBS, and he was saying the way that tariffs are implemented and have been implemented up until now, so the 10% tariff on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods was actually fairly easy to circumnavigate by round-tripping the goods. You're in China, you export to Singapore, Singapore exports to the United States, you repackage it, it's not too difficult. Mm-hmm. With the escalation of tariffs that we've had recently, moving that up to 25% and adding the extra, you know, $300 billion or so worth of goods at a 25% tariff, it makes it far more difficult to actually bust the tariffs, if you want to put it that way. And that has made sure that the suppliers of these companies are going to have to take action. Suppliers in the US definitely, and suppliers in Europe almost certainly as well. So it's gonna interrupt the entire pattern of trade flow if we don't see some sort of relaxation, and that almost inevitably will lead to a decrease in global trade, and not just in Huawei products. This is going to be across the board. It's a very, very serious situation at the moment, and
so,
we haven't seen markets price it in.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. But markets are not really doing terribly well today, are they?
They're not doing terribly well. But if you look at the scale of damage that an all-out trade war can do, this is really just the tip of an iceberg. It is a very, very scary situation in which, up until now, markets, I don't think, have been able to price it in because it's just so significant. And we've assumed that there would be some sort of positive resolution. And as we see this escalation from China and the US and the slow tit for tat and backwards and forwards, we're slowly seeing markets starting to react finally. And it does look like they've been very delayed because, you know, the amount of growth that this will wipe, you know, like an all-out trade war will wipe off global GDP is significant.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's come to some home matters. Of course, later this week, we're going to get inflation data and the Reserve Bank is going to pronounce on interest rates. What are the expectations there?
So looking at it, again, we're sitting in a situation in which, we do have a slightly weaker currency at the moment. We've obviously got the ratings agency decisions hanging over our head. We've had that initial shot from Moody's as well, just saying, we've got to get our house in order, essentially. So it doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room for the Reserve Bank at this stage. Inflation, we're going to get inflation numbers out later this week as well. But, as it stands, I don't think that there's a strong enough case to see a cut in interest rates personally. It's part of that is because if you look at the Reserve Bank's mandate as a mandate to encourage growth as well as protect prices, the cutting of interest rates is not necessarily going to have the effect that it does in a typical economy because of our structural problems, because of the composition of our economy. If we suddenly drop interest rates by, even 0.5%, is this going to encourage banks to lend more? Potentially not. Is it going to suddenly make credit the right kind of credit, the kind of credit that allows people to go and start businesses and become productive members of society? Probably not. It might fuel further consumer spending, which we already know is at very, very high levels. South Africa is facing a savings crisis. So I don't think you're going to get the effect by cutting interest rates. I don't think you're going to get that kick up in growth that everyone's kind of hoping for. So I think that the right decision at this stage would probably be to leave interest rates unchanged.
There are rumors flying all over the place about what the composition of President Cyril Ramaphosa's new government will be, or cabinet. One of the rumors is that Tito Mboweni is likely to remain as finance minister, regardless of what the outcome is. How important is it to have the right person in that portfolio from a market perspective?
Oh, it's absolutely crucial. And we can see the market reaction in the past when we had very short-term finance ministers and the kind of shuffling that we've seen of the finance minister position. We can see the damage that it does in the currency. We can see that, as that played out, we can see that the damage that it did to investor confidence in South Africa as well. I mean, the indicators almost immediately turned south. So it is an incredibly important position to fill with someone that is well respected by not just the local financial community, but the international financial community.
There are a number of companies that I'm speaking to today, but please just pick out one that you saw today and just tell me what you thought about their results and how the market reacted.
I think the big results today are certainly, I mean, we had a couple, as you say, but the big one is certainly Pioneer, which got absolutely crunched. And there was heavy, heavy selling in the first couple of hours of trade and then kind of flatlined 11% down for the day. And this is a company that, while they said at 2.7, I think it was 2.7% revenue growth. So their top line is growing at least it's growing. That's what we can say. It is slightly higher than it was previously. Its costs, grew a lot quicker, and that really has people concerned. We saw that their basket of products. I mean, remember they do Sasco and various food products. They saw like their basket inflation at around 6.6%, which is significant. It goes back to the point of this is probably not the time to be cutting interest rates when this must flow into the consumer prices eventually. The company can't continue to take the pain on behalf of the consumer by not pushing through those cost increases. And I think that's unfortunately the position that Pioneer has been in. They haven't been able to push it onto their retail outlets, you know, whoever they supply to, whether it's Pick and Pay or ShopRite. And because the consumer simply couldn't absorb that kind of price increase. But the point is, when you're then losing enormous amounts of money and your share price is collapsing, that is a situation that can't go on indefinitely. So unfortunately, I think that speaks to the narrative that we are going to see higher inflation rates in South Africa shortly.
Okay, well, see, watch that space. Thank you so much, Gary, as always, for your time. That was Gary Boyson. He's portfolio manager at RandSwiss.